there was no flood of new topic suggestions. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even a trickle. There wasn't even a drip of new topic suggestions for this series, Dispensationalism Has the Answer. So this, then, will be the 12th and final installment. I remember back in August, when I was just getting engaged with this, I received an email that said, in answer to your request for ideas for your current series, Dispensationalism Has the Answer to People's Questions, he said, it's a wonderful topic. Later on in that same email, he said, when people don't know how to discern, they feel like there are a bunch of options, and we have no way to know the right one. You've heard me say, people believe whoever they heard last.
Yes.
Just in the last hour, I said that most Christians, most churchgoers, have no doctrinal foundation upon which to build convictions. Since they then don't have convictions, they go with the flow. They go to the course of least resistance, or where the biggest crowd is, not knowing right from wrong. The emailer said, one such person asked me, how do I know you are right? Dispensational Bible study gives them the tools to choose on their own, the right questions to ask, and the way to know. The way to know has to be defined by the understanding of why things are as they are. It is so common for people to argue back and forth over issues. Well, my church baptizes by sprinkling. Well, my church baptizes by dunking. And my church pours. And they'll debate such things and not know why. What's the basis for the one or the other?
Yeah.
In our bookstore, for more than 20 years, we would have the opportunity to eavesdrop on conversations. And it's not uncommon. It was common to hear, well, at my church, we do thus and so. Of course, when people would come in opposition, most people don't confront one another anymore. There's so much not wanting to find the truth. They're willing to let somebody else travel with error. But when it's minor issues like at my church, we wash feet. And at my church, we do it at home. That's a different thing than we believe water baptism is necessary for salvation that some churches teach. But all this going back and forth, my Bible says this, well, my Bible says this. They each pick a verse to try to trump the other guy's verse, and the winner's going to be the guy with the most verses or the loudest voice. The emailer's absolutely right that folks don't know what right is,
Yeah. And
they don't have discernment. When I say take the course of least resistance, those people will identify it as being led by the Spirit.
Yeah. That
puts a Christian brush on their selfish personal ambitions.
Yeah.
The good news that we have is that not only does Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division clarify the gospel, not only does it allow my Bible to stand without me having to tweak it and Greek it, not only does it provide Christ's instructions in doctrine through the Apostle Paul to me so I can know them, it gives me the answers why. I've illustrated it to you many times previously by pointing out that when Adam and Eve were living in a garden and the animals had no curse on them, there was no curse on the earth, and Bambi walked right up to you, you don't eat your friends.
Right.
So they ate herbs, and every herb was meat for them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. After the curse is on the earth, after they're supposed to spread out around the earth, Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, whatever you can catch, you can eat it. Changes in the dietary program differed by the logistics of being in a garden with no curse and spreading out over the whole world with a curse. Big differences. Then here comes a dietary program that's peculiar. Why? Because God's picked one group of people to be peculiar so that they would be a gazing stock and people would be, what's with these people? And that would get them in line to find out who Jehovah was. Israel was the conduit of that information to the Gentile nations. So that dietary program was intended as peculiar. You and I were in grace. We're not under the law. So our dietary program, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, whatever you want to eat, eat it. Be thankful and everything give thanks. The reason for the change is you're not under the law. There's reasons why. It's not a capricious God dealing people different hands, and how the cards fall is how they fall. There's reasons why. In First John chapter 2, in verse 27, we see some people have an anointing. They don't need anybody to teach them. Why? Well, they'd been under the law, and they couldn't keep the law. So God's going to give them an anointing by His Spirit that'll allow them to keep the law and actually cause them, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, to walk in His statutes. That's the why. You and I, we're not a part of a covenant program, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We need teachers. We need to study. Why? We don't have the anointing. The Holy Spirit sealed us into the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit's put us into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit has relationship with you and with me, but not the same relationship that it has with New Covenant Israel. And there's whys for that. So we're able to deal with these issues. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, you've got people all over America who think that their preacher's anointed. I've listened to several of them. If that's the Holy Ghost anointing that I'm hearing, the Holy Ghost is an illiterate boob.
Yes.
Oh, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. See the problem? I couldn't if I tried. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Paul tells us, Christ sent him not to baptize. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul tells us, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, is not by works of righteousness. No righteous baptism does anybody any good.
Amen.
Not circumcision, Galatians chapter 6, availeth anything. So what's the deal? Why does most of the Bible talk about living it, pressing on, doing it, keeping the law, enduring to the end? Most of the Bible talks that way. And you got this guy Paul who says these other things, that to him that worketh not is, but believeth on him is justified. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace. Ah! How important it is to recognize my Bible doesn't just have old and new in it. There's actually a third thing, the revelation of the mystery. There's actually quite a few more than three things. But
Yes. Since
the old doesn't even show up until 69 chapters into your Bible. Why am I not keeping the law, being baptized, enduring to the end? Why is my resurrection, John chapter 5, verse 29, not based on being a do-gooder? Because I have had the benefits of God manifest in the flesh, doing all the work for me.
Yes.
Taking my place on Calvary's cross. And I've learned now that judicially, the Holy Ghost of God has immersed me for the sake of identification, baptized me into His death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Mm-hmm. So, why? Water baptism is a stench in the nostrils of God.
Yeah.
Water baptism says, you don't know enough Bible to get out of your own way. Water baptism, when you walk into a church with a water baptistry, you should look immediately for exit signs. They'll have you tithing. They have you under the law. They have the preacher as the under-shepherd. He's going to watch out for your souls. You're going to be works-oriented, performance-oriented. And ask Jesus in your heart and make Him Lord of your life. You're going to hear some of the worst things called gospel presentations. There's no gospel in what's being presented.
No.
People say, well, water baptism, that's a testimony, an outward profession of an inward possession. That's the Baptist talk. Yeah, an inward possession of being dumb as a brick.
Amen.
There's 12 baptisms in the Bible. Huh? There's 3 in one verse. Huh? Yours is not what goes on in Acts 2. Yours is not what goes on in Matthew 3. Yours is the Holy Spirit as the baptizer, baptizing you into the body of Christ, which didn't exist when John the Baptist's head was on a plate. The name on the door tells me to stay away. What do I know when I drive up to a Catholic church? Unless it's time for bingo, I don't want to go there. What do I know when I drive up in front of an Assemblies of God? I know that there are many in and think they can lose their salvation, which tells me they really don't understand salvation. They don't understand grace.
Right.
What do I know when I drive up in front of a Baptist church?
They're mixing law and grace.
They're going to mix law and grace. They're going to have ordinances.
Yes.
Really? I thought Paul said they were nailed to a tree.
Yes.
Yeah, but we got 2. Yeah, they were nailed to a tree. Yeah, but we got 2. Yes, I'm hard to get along with. No, I don't care.
Amen.
I need to be pleasing to somebody that you're not thinking about.
Yes, that's it.
The head of the body is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to think that you gain closer access and have better standing with God because you got your head under water is offensive to grace.
Yes.
Have a nice day. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Beat your swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. A similar verse from Isaiah is in the meditation room in the United Nations. Well, we want peace, so we pick that verse. I want peace, but not at the expense of my freedom or liberty.
No.
I'm proud. Carol's dad died in World War II. My 96 or whatever age next door neighbor is just parachuted behind enemy lines. I'm glad we weren't all running off to Canada when Hitler and Mussolini were doing their thing.
Amen.
So, since I'm not in the kingdom, I'm not going to be Amish and acquiesce to any enemy thinking that the king's going to make it right. That's Amish thinking. That's Mennonite thinking. They would turn the other cheek and let the Heil Hitler people march right on by. They did that in World War II. American Amish conscientious objectors wouldn't pick up a gun if Goering was in Detroit. Their theology isn't sound because this isn't the kingdom. The king's not here.
That's it.
I'm engaged in spiritual warfare, and I understand the weapons of my warfare aren't carnal. That spiritual warfare and protection of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are two different things. I know this about Joel chapter 3, verse 10. That verse says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Isn't it interesting? Folks know about Micah chapter 4, verse 3, swords into plowshares, and that's the one you hear. You don't hear the other one. Now, neither one of these has application in this dispensation. Okay. Joel 3, verse 10 is tribulation doctrine. Yeah. Micah chapter 4, verse 3 is kingdom doctrine. We're not in the tribulation. We're not in the kingdom. We're in the nasty now and now. We're in this present evil world. We have a religion of some of the most consummate evil that has ever been perpetrated on the population of planet Earth. And if you think I mean the Muslims, no, I'm talking about the Catholics.
Right.
The Muslims would be a distant second. Both evil.
Yeah.
Both wicked. If you don't know you enough to defend yourself from them, they'll kill you and think they did God's service.
Yes.
Ramadan. And the president of these here United States says he wanted to thank the Muslim people for their great contributions in the history of this great country. Name one. You can't placate evil by talking nice about it.
Right.
If you can't tell the truth, shut up. Mark chapter 13, in verse 11. When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. I've been in churches where they do this.
Mm-hmm.
A Free Will Baptist church on route, 380? And there'd be a whole bunch of old ball guys in the front row. I wasn't one of them. I was in the second row. But all the preachers from all the different Free Will Baptist churches, they had showed up. And there's some music being played and some singing being done. But nobody's moved. They were waiting for the anointing.
Yep.
They were waiting for one of them to get the Holy Ghost unction.
Yep.
To get up there and take no thought. When he finally did get up, it was clear he hadn't taken any thought. It was embarrassing how little thought he'd taken. We're supposed to learn the scriptures.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:15. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're supposed to be a workman.
Yes.
Workman. We, my wife and I, 20 plus years in the Christian bookstore business, and I've brought messages in more than 200 different churches. I can tell you, preachers as a group have among them some of the laziest people on planet Earth. Work? Are you serious? Work? Why work when you can buy a Saturday night special? Saturday night specials are not 32s with short barrels. Saturday night specials are sermon outline books.
Yes.
And Saturday night, you find the outline to preach on Sunday morning. It's a Saturday night special. We drove down Dayton Xenia Road, big old Southern Baptist Church, sign on front, Awana. You know what Awana is? Requires no work. Requires money. You buy a program. You read from what they've written. You do the audio visuals that they provide because you bought them. Awana, I like to say, is in place because teachers don't wanna. They don't want to do the work. It's flat out, slap silly, lazy. Study to show thyself approved on the workmanship. Why would anybody want to do that when you can buy a program? Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Here I've got Christ's 12 disciples in one going to all the world, in the other going to all the nations. Why is that? Israel was to be the conduit of truth and Jehovah's blessings to the nations.
Right.
But there's a new understanding after the Apostle Paul shows up. So by the time you get to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, you have a situation recorded in Galatians chapter 2 when James, Cephas, and John, verse 9, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to. Let's see. All the world? No. All the nations? No. Did I just intimate that the Great Commission of Matthew 28, verse 19, and Mark chapter 16, verse 15 came to an end in Acts 15? And yet every church in town thinks that Matthew 28, verse 19 is, that's our commission. No, I didn't intimate it. I slapped silly, said it.
Exactly.
Do words mean anything? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Who can do that other than Israel?
Nobody.
Why does she say nobody? Answer?
They weren't counted.
Numbers 23:9. Israel was not counted among the nations. So, for there to be all nations, you can't have been a nation.
Right.
Only those who weren't a nation could teach, and there still be all nations out there. Otherwise, it's all minus one. Mm-hmm. So to teach all nations, you've got to be the folks that ain't a nation.
Right.
Too simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, why are you the only one that sees it? No, you just saw it as well. You're asking the wrong guy. You need to ask the Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian why they don't see it. That's where the trouble lies. Forgetting the fact that verse 20 is the rest of the sentence in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, teaching them to observe all things, and you would be wrong to observe all things that Christ taught. He put you slap silly under the law, folks. Because Jesus, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, born of a virgin made under the law, that's where he was. Why, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, find the guy who sit in Moses' seat and do what he says. Then on your way home, take Route 35, make a right, go just a little ways up Route 75, and get off on Salem Avenue. When you get off on the Salem Avenue exit, you go north about a mile and you stop at the Jewish temple and find the guy that sits in Moses' seat and do what he tells you.
Amen.
Well, I don't think it means that. Oh! See where we are?
Yeah.
Words don't mean things. Now, Paul gets saved in Acts 9. He gets a revelation of the mystery. By the time you get to Acts 15, Peter, James, and John go one direction with circumcision. Paul and Barnabas go another direction with the uncircumcision. Are there any other verses that corroborate that that's what was going on? Oh, Acts chapter 11. Here I've got Peter, James, and John. Now when they were scattered abroad at the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. They were doing exactly as Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6 told them. They weren't going by the Great Commission.
Right.
I don't care what your Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Assemblies of God, and Our Lady of Perpetual Motion think they're doing. The guys on the scene weren't doing it.
Right.
Now, that's not a problem I have to fix. Isn't that funny? Oh, Brother McLean, you don't believe in the Great Commission. Not the way you execute it. Not the way you lie about it. Not the way you put people back in the Old Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to execute it. So you're right. I've got a grace commission, which is a greater commission. Chew on that one a while. Yes, I'm hard-headed. If I thought having a real quiet little pipe organ in the background and the sound effects of angels' wings and speaking in a timorous, small voice as we see in the writings of the Apostle Paul. If I thought that would get through to anybody, then I'd try that. I've found mules need 2x4s.
Amen.
Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. There's nobody in the room not thinking about lunch. Now that I've said it, take no thought. You've clipped coupons.
Yep.
You've got shopping lists. My wife's shopping list is fearsome. Produce items she puts in green. Meat items she does in red. She's nodding up and down. What's your point? As if, doesn't everybody? Grocery items are in black. Health and beauty aids is in blue. If she's got a health and beauty aid item and a coupon, there's a mark. Scary, right? She's not going by Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, is she?
No.
Nor what you shall put on. This is a sexist remark. No woman in the world has gone through her life never having said, "But I have nothing to wear." Ah, what ye shall put on. People lie to themselves about in his steps following Jesus. I know some things, and I talked about them 2 times ago, about the first Thanksgiving and how communism didn't work. It's fascinating how thought progresses. There was a man in ancient history. He was a monk named Adso. And he wrote a book roughly entitled A Little Book About the Antichrist. And in that book, he talked about how there was going to be a terrible time when the Antichrist would be in place. But before that, there would be the last emperor. That sounds like that could even be a movie title, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And this last emperor would be running things until the Antichrist shows up. In ancient literature, you can read something called the Song of Roland. And it's about the last emperor being a guy named Charlemagne. The idea was that before the Antichrist came, the last emperor would instill and install peace, and he'd do it. Yes, he'd have the arms and he'd have the might and the force. He'd do it by having all things in common. So the last emperor, Charlemagne thought it was him, and Song of Roland declares that, he'd be one following the precepts of Acts 2. So along comes a guy named Karl Marx and a guy named Hegel. And they read The Last Emperor, and they understand the principle of ruling and reigning on the earth in peace ties Karl Marx to Acts chapter 2, which you can read about in Das Kapital. Adso lived along like 1,200 years ago. Things are in place historically and in literature that put blinders on people to see things a certain way. What I, with these kinds of lessons, would attempt to do is remove those blinders and replace them with a new set of blinders. The new set of blinders is called Bible-believing mid-Acts Pauline dispensational Christianity, where you see things from that perspective. And you see things very differently. You know that there's going to be an Antichrist. You know he's going to start out with peace. The idea of the last emperor, they're trying to have the kingdom in place. That won't work without the king.
Amen.
There are people smart enough to have read these books.
Yeah.
There are people knowledgeable in world literature, knowledgeable in world history and politics. This is in their wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that'll cut through it is knowing your Bible well enough to discern the evil when you see it.
Yes.
What could possibly be wrong with an emperor installing peace and everybody gets everything equally? What could possibly be wrong with that? Why? Isn't that what Jesus wanted? So everybody votes for that. Isn't one of the major complaints about, well, you get more people getting from the government than give to the government, the people that get from the government are going to vote to get more, and they're going to outvote the people that give to the government. Isn't that one of the... What could be possibly wrong with everybody getting equal? Only when you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, and if you don't provide for your family, you're an infidel. Only when you know that this is a present evil world, only when you know that the god of this world is the devil, would you take issue with Marx and Hegel.
Yeah.
If Marx and Hegel get their way, everybody drives a metro. Some have to straddle it. Others can get inside. The best feature on a Geo Metro is the heated rear window, so you can push it and keep your hands warm at the same time. Knowing the Bible rightly divided gives you why these things won't work.
Amen.
You know, we had millions of people to this day who think that what they're going to get is free health care. Something like 18% of people under 35 think Affordable Care Act gets them free health care. And these people vote and drive cars. Well, who wouldn't want that? Why, everybody should get it free.
And pony. I want a pony.
A pony.
He says there's no such thing as
free. And I stick with that. There's no such thing as free. I irritate my wife. I do that a lot. But one way I found is especially effective is we saved $8 on coupons by redeeming. You didn't save anything. Show me the $8. You spent money. You want to save, burn the coupon, and keep the money. Now that goes against the grain, doesn't it? Well, it would have been $4 and I got it for $3. You didn't need it at any price. Huh? You could have saved the... Saving the $3 would have been saving. The dollar you saved, it was never there. That was in the margin between cost and retail on that product that they expended with a coupon to take you out of the market for their competition by putting a coupon in your hands to put you in the market, and they made you buy a bigger size than you normally would, so now you're in their brand for longer, and on that one that you got that was a bigger size, there was a coupon on it for the next one. That's called a comeback to the same brand. And I saved a lot. Really? But I'm broke. Now we're getting there. I'm being silly just to make the point. Some things sound good, but they're not real. 11-ounce Crave chocolate cereal made by Kellogg's. Kroger's, $3.89. On sale. I got a dual sticker for $3.39. Save 50 cents. You've got a coupon in your pocket that says $1 off when you buy three. So you go there when it's on sale, you buy three. How am I doing? They're $3.09 each at that point. So you spent $9.27. And how much did you save? Well, you spent $9.27. You think you saved $1.50 three times. You think you saved $2.50. Now, folks, this is all real. I've got this kind of a memory. I can do this. This is all in the last 2 weeks. Last week, Friday and Saturday, Kroger had a Friday-Saturday sale. Crave, 11-ounce, was $1.88. You buy three. How much did you spend? $6 minus 36 cents, right? So you spent $5 and 64 cents to buy three. And you thought you had saved $2.50. This is actual merchandising in Kroger's the last 2 weeks. Everything I'm telling you is documentable fact. I threw away my coupon when I got it. I knew this was too high going in. I bought six boxes at $1. They're playing with their profit margin.
Yeah.
They're manipulating you, and they have you loving it. What a dumb example. A stupid box of cereal. You don't suppose on a bigger spectrum they could be telling you, we're going to make something expensive affordable. And all you have to do is go to this website and sign up.
Yeah. We'll be.
And it's going to save every American $2,500. That's what you were told.
Yep.
He's got this coupon. I'm such a cynic. And I'm proud of it. Glad to be. It saves me from so much trouble. Irritates my wife to no end. So endeth asking yourself, how do I know which is right? Answer, until you know why things are the way they are, you're not even asking the right questions. You need to learn the foundational doctrines so you begin to understand the why things are the way they are. I know why.
Yeah.
I know why 11 ounces of cereal is priced for $3.89. I know back in 1945, cereal companies learned you sell more cereal if you've got an athlete on the cover of the box of Wheaties. Got to pay the athlete. Where's that money come from? Added to the box of cereal. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's got something on the front. We need some kind of... Anybody can hire Bruce Jenner, but nobody can get the Trix Rabbit except Trix. So we need to pay people that are cartoonists. We need to have little toys to put inside. There has been more than a dollar merchandising money in a box of branded cereal since the 70s. Since the 70s. More than a dollar of your money is not in the box. It's in the merchandising. For some, it's even higher. We accept wrong things willingly because we don't have the discipline to stand against them. Yes. I'd rather have Crave at $1.88 all the time. Forget about the bunny rabbits and the toys and the CDs and the mail-ins and the box tops for your school. I would rather have one can opener that I can open a can of beans than to have in my store 4,000 cans of beans, each with its own can opener. Because now we have to have a pop top.
Yeah.
Which costs 8 times more than a lid. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for one can opener every time you buy a can.
Yes.
And I want it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Then quit complaining about the price of food.
Yep.
Most of it isn't food that you're paying for.
That's it.
You're paying for can openers and bunny rabbits. What does this have to do? Time to quit.